We're going to begin our reading in the very first chapter, and then we'll begin reading in verse number 19, Deuteronomy chapter 1, and begin our reading in verse number 19. The Bible says in verse number 19, "And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all the great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of our fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged." Verse 22. "And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, We will send men before us, and they shall search out the land and bring us word again. By the way, we must go up, and to the cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountain, and came unto the valley of Eshrol, and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it down to us, and brought us word again, and said, It is good, it is a good land, which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, we would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents, and said, Because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt, to deliver us into the land of the Amorites, to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, The people is greater and taller than we, and the cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakims there. And I said unto you, Dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth up before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son, and all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. How went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in, and fire by night, and to show you by the way ye should go in the cloud by day? Verse 34, And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth and sware, saying, Surely there shall not be one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Also the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, Thou also shalt not go in hither, but Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that land had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn you, and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea." Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for all that you've given to us, and we are so thankful for the blessings that you bestowed upon our life, and Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house this morning, to sing these wonderful praises, to open your word and to see what you're saying to us, what you've declared to us. Lord, I pray that we would be obedient. If there's an individual here that does not know you as their Lord and their Savior, they do not know that if they were to leave this earth today, that they would be in the presence of God. I pray, Lord, that they would allow us to show them from the Bible how they can be saved. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, binding Satan and his demons. I pray your word would fall on good ground, that it would spring up and grow in our hearts and in our lives. We pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In the text that we find before us this morning, Moses is addressing God's people prior to their entry into the promised land. And Moses recounts the failures of 10 men before they went in, or before God's people would enter into the promised land. Now, sadly, these 10 men, and sadly many that wandered in the wilderness, never got to where God would have them to go. Unfortunately, we know two that inherit the land, Joshua and Caleb. But what about these other 10 men? Now, the Bible teaches us that they were chosen for a particular task. I don't think that they were evil men. We know that they gave an evil report. But what swayed them in this report? Why did these men not believe in the message of God? They were chosen for their abilities, their qualifications. And yet, when we read about these 10 men, we read that they had utterly failed in what God had called them to do. Now, you may be asking, why should we concern our life with the results or the information given to us about these 10 men? Well, the Bible teaches us that we are to take the account of these men and we are to learn from them. We don't want to follow in their footsteps. We don't want to head into that direction. In fact, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and notice what the Bible says here in this passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we don't want to follow in the same direction as these 10 men. And the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, now notice if we could in the 10th chapter, and then let's look, if we could, in verse number 11. The Bible, speaking here of the Old Testament, the accounts of the children of Israel, it says in verse number 10, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." So the account here, the context, is speaking of God's people wandering in the wilderness. And the Bible says in verse number 11, "Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world are come." So the Bible says that we have their account as an example to us what we ought to do and sometimes what we ought not to do. And so the Bible gives us instruction in how we are to live our life. And so what we do is we look at the principles. Why did these good men fail? Why did they not believe the Lord? Why did they have an evil report? What does the Bible say? Moses is looking back at that. He's looking back at those events. And he's laying out for us the account of what happened. And so we have this example to teach us so that we can live our life in a principled way so that we don't follow in that direction. Now, all of us know people who used to serve the Lord. They used to be faithful to God. They used to be in church, but they're not there anymore. And so the Bible gives us great principles here to help us so that we don't follow in that pathway. Now, before we get into these principles, I want to say this. We need to remember that the devil wants to destroy you. And the devil doesn't want you to succeed. The devil doesn't want you to have victory in your life. And so he is busy trying to cause us, or let me say this, he's busy trying to allow these principles to make decisions for us and not us relying on the Word of God, depending on the Word of God to make these decisions. So let's jump into this passage of Scripture again, Deuteronomy chapter 1, and let's notice why these good men made the decision that they made, and hopefully this will help us to make a good decision in our life. Number one, they failed because of discouragement. They failed because of discouragement. Now notice what the Bible says in verse number 28 of chapter 1. The Bible says, "Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the Lord is greater and tall, is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there." Verse 29, "Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them." So first of all, I want us to think about Discouragement. Now, the children of Israel were ungrateful people. I hope that we as Christians are not as ungrateful as the children of Israel. If we learn nothing from the life of the children of Israel, we need to learn this, that we need to be a grateful people. I mean, the children of Israel, they were so ungrateful. God did so much for them. And yet the Bible says they murmured in their tents. And then they had the audacity to say, the Lord hated us because he took us from Egypt. Can you imagine? You know, when you look at the children of Israel and their life and their journey, one of the greatest works of God was their exodus from Egypt. And God did that for their benefit. But they could not see past their own selfishness. And then they say of God, God hated us because of this event in our life. Isn't that a sad commentary on their life? Now, we know from what the Bible teaches us that Egypt is a picture of the world. The crossing of the Red Sea is a picture of our justification. And we know that the Lord Jesus has done wonderful things in our life to save us, to wash our sins away. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then friend, listen, you're missing out on everything. I mean, to know that your sins are washed away, to know that you're on your way to heaven is the greatest thing in all the world. To know that you've been redeemed and you are a child of the Creator God is just a wonderful thing to know. And the Bible says you can know these things. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. And we ought never to get to the place in our life where we have this attitude, it was better for me to be in Egypt. It was better, my life was better when I was in Egypt. Egypt is a picture of bondage. Egypt is a picture of trouble, of hardship. And yet the Bible says here that they said the Lord hated us because he took us from Egypt. By the way, let me say this. God doesn't hate us. God loves us. And God does everything for our benefit. He loves us and he cares about us, casting all your care upon him because he cares about you. God loves you and God wants you to know his eternal life. And so the Bible says here that they were not aware of the goodness of God, and their attitude was just a rotten attitude. God hates us. God doesn't care about us. Why would God allow this to happen in our life? When I was a teenager, I remember many times as a teenager, my parents having restrictions in my life. They would say, you can't go there. You can't do that. And oftentimes when I think back at those times in my life and I think of, as a teenager, my selfishness and really couldn't see past my own selfishness, I would have this attitude, well, you don't love me. If you love me, you allow me to do this. You'd allow me to go there. All of my friends are going there. All of my friends are doing this. You know, in the famous saying, you know, if all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff? And teenagers, because teenagers are not, they're not that bright. They'd say, yes, we jump off a cliff. And, you know, you can't see past your own selfishness. And you have this attitude, well, you don't love me because you don't allow me to do this. And yet when you, as you grow older and you become a parent, you realize the reason why they did that is because they love you, because they care about you. And God did all of this work, this wonderful work, the exodus from Egypt, and all of this work, God did this to show himself strong. And yet the Bible says that God's people here, these men were discouraged because of the attitudes of his kinmen, the attitude of others. They saw the cup half empty, and the Bible says they blame this discouragement on their failure. Now, why did they fail? Let me just lay this out why they got discouraged. Number one, they were not grounded in the Word of God. They were not grounded in the Word of God. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 1, look what the Bible says in verse 21. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21. The Bible says, behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. In other words, it's already yours. God said the land belongs to you.
You don't even have to fight for it. I'm going to fight for you. You don't have to do anything. All you need to do is claim it. It already is your land. I've given it to you. Just go up and possess it. As the Lord God of your fathers have said unto thee. Notice this. Fear not, neither be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Don't fear. This land is already yours. All you need to do is go up and possess it. This is a wonderful thought for our Christian life, by the way. You know what? The reason why we get discouraged is because we get our eyes off of the Word of God. We begin to listen to what other people have to say. We begin to listen to the opinions of other people. In verse number 30, the Bible says, "The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes." God's going to fight the battle. All you need to do is claim it. God's going to give it to you. And yet the Bible says they listened to other people and they didn't listen to God. We need to be careful who we listen to. We need to be careful who becomes our teachers in our life. I heard the story of a school teacher that lost her life savings in a business scheme. So detailed was the swindler that explained this wonderful opportunity to her. And when her investment disappeared, her dreams were shattered. And so she went to the Better Business Bureau and explained the situation. And they said, "Well, why on the earth didn't you come to us first? Why didn't you talk to us first before you made this investment? Didn't you know about the Better Business Bureau?" And she said, "Oh, yes." She said, I've always known about you, but I didn't come because I was afraid you'd tell me not to do it." And oftentimes the reason why we don't go to the Word of God is because we're afraid of the answer we're going to get. We have our mind set up. We know what we're already going to do. This is what we want to do. And so we don't seek counsel. We don't go to the Word of God because we don't want to get the answer that is contrary to our desire. And yet the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that they didn't listen to God. In fact, they avoided the advice of God. They didn't follow God's plan. You know, God's not interested in our plan. God's not interested in your plan. God is interested in our faithfulness to his plan. Isn't that why Saul was refused as king? Saul had his own agenda. Saul had his own plan. Saul and his army were waiting for Samuel to arrive to offer a sacrifice before going to war, and Samuel had not come yet, and the soldiers were prepared to flee rather than fight the Philistines. And so, growing impatient, Saul chose to offer a sacrifice. Just as Saul finished the sacrifice, Samuel arrives and said, Samuel said, "Saul, you've done a foolish thing." Why did he do a foolish thing? Because he didn't obey God. He did it his own way. And this happened again and again. Saul was more interested in his agenda. And then Samuel came and said, "Saul, you'll no longer be king." You know why? Because God has found a man after his own heart. You know what that means? It just means God found a man that's interested more in what God wants than he wants. And so we find that these men, they were more interested than the opinions of other people than they were the opinion of God. Hey, can I give you something that will help your life? Live your life for the opinion of one. Live your life for the opinion of one. You know, it doesn't matter what people have to say. What matters ultimately is what God has to say. And we need to live our life to please the Lord. And Saul lived his life to please himself. And we know that David became king. And David was one that delighted, Psalm 1, delighted in the law of the Lord. He delighted in what God's opinion was and what God wanted. And so the Bible says here that they did not obey the Lord. They didn't follow God's man. I mean, Moses faithfully presented them the word of God. However, they didn't believe Moses. They didn't believe God. They didn't listen to what Moses had to say. And in fact, the Bible says that they listened to the wrong crowd. In verse number 28, the Bible says here, that they were discouraged. Look, verse 28, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart. So what did they do? They began to listen to the wrong crowd. You know, no matter how old you get, there's always going to be peer pressure in your life. It doesn't matter how old you are. You know, there's always going to be pressure to follow the crowd, to follow the majority. That never goes away. We talk about teen pressure all the time, peer pressure in the lives of teens. But there's always going to be peer pressure to follow the majority. The reality is that we need to listen to what God has to say, not what the majority has to say. We need to listen to what God has to say. And these men failed because they listened to what others said. And the Bible plainly says, don't be discouraged. You're going to get the land. All you need to do is claim it. I'm going to give it to you. But what do? They listen to other people. And because of that, they failed. So first of all, we need to not be discouraged. Keep our eyes on the Lord. Obey the word of God. Number two, they failed because of deceit. They failed because of deceit. You know, being deceived is a terrible thing. It really is. I actually recently read a story of a man that was conned over $100,000. And he fell in love with a woman on the internet. And this woman wanted to come to America. And so he kept spending money to get her over to America, over $100,000. It wasn't until years later that the woman he thought he was in love with never existed. She never existed. He was deceived. Over $100,000. He was deceived. He was lied to. He was scammed. I can't imagine how devastating it would be to be lied about, you know, for $100,000. But you know what's worse than $100,000? Being lied about your eternity. I think of people who think they're going to heaven. They think they have eternal life. But they're being scammed. They're being deceived. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, it's estimated that 500,000 Americans have counterfeit diplomas. 500,000, probably a lot of doctors. That's incredible. I mean, deception is everywhere in our world. And we need to understand that falling in this trap of deception is one of the ploys of the devil. The devil, you know, when the Bible talks about the qualifications or the characteristics of the devil, it doesn't talk a lot about his power, though he's a lot more powerful than me and you. It talks about his trickery. He's a deceiver. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, when that old snake is finally put in the lake of fire, the Bible says, and the devil, which deceived the nations. Wow, he's a deceiver. And, you know, he has a lot of people deceived today. Do you believe that? He has a lot of people deceived today. There are a lot of people who think they're going to heaven because they're a good person, but the Bible doesn't teach that. There's a lot of people who think they're going to heaven because they're a part of a church or an organization. There's a lot of people who think they're going to heaven because they got wet in the baptistry. But the Bible doesn't say that. They're deceived. And they are exactly where the devil wants them to be. You see, the Bible says he's blinded the minds of them which believe not. He's messing with their mind and he's deceiving them. He's lying to them. Satan is a liar. He is the prince of deceit. And the last thing that the devil wants is for people to know the truth. He would have you to have anything. He wants you to have anything. But he doesn't want you to have the truth. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, the devil doesn't want you to know the truth because it is the truth that will make you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the truth.
He's the only way to get to the Father. You see, Satan is always presenting options in the life of people. I think about in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1 and how he gets people to question the word of God. How he got Eve to question the word of God. He says, yea, hath God said? Did God really say that? He wants people to question the word of God. And yet the Bible is very clear in the matter of salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The only way someone can get to the Father, the only way that you'll ever get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that wonderful? And if you've never called upon the name of the Lord, listen, friend, I invite you to come to the truth, the Lord Jesus. He wants to save you. He wants to wash your sins away. He wants to give you eternal life. So the Bible says the devil wants to deceive this world. He wants to deceive, and he deceived these 10 men. Their attitude was, we cannot get this land. There's giants in the land. We will never be able to overcome it. Listen, if the devil can get you to think that you cannot get victory in the Lord Jesus, then he'll be successful in your life. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus can give you victory today. Don't be deceived by the devil. You know, how do we overcome deception from the devil? We need to know the truth of the word of God. What does the Bible say? Let me give you a couple of verses. You can write them down. Romans chapter 10. Would you turn there? Romans chapter 10. And I invite you to write these down and meditate upon these verses, because these will help you in your life as we consider overcoming deception. Romans chapter 10 in your Bibles. And verse number 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. Look what the Bible says now. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So our faith grows when we hear the word of God. So you being here and the Bible being preached is an opportunity for your faith to grow. Let me give you another verse, Ephesians chapter 6. Would you turn there? Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse number 16. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 16. The Bible says, above all, taking, look at this, the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. So if I could give you a picture of what the Bible is saying hearing the word of God helps our faith to grow. And then we take that shield of faith and we use it to block the fiery darts of doubt that the devil brings our way. As the majority crowd says, hey, listen, I don't believe that this world was created by God. I don't think that he created this world in 6 literal days. I think that maybe evolution was involved, or maybe theistic evolution where God set it in motion. Wait a minute. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It doesn't matter what the majority says. What matters is what God says. And you use the shield of faith to block the fiery, doubting darts of the devil, and our faith grows by knowing the word of God. You see, it's important for us to be in the Bible. It's important for you to be here this morning so that your faith can grow. And so the Bible says that they were lied to. They were deceived. We see that they were discouraged. I want to see thirdly, they failed because of doubt. They failed because of doubt. The Bible says in verse 32 of our text, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 32, the Bible says, yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. In this thing you did not believe the Lord your God. Now,
It's easy. It's easy to be swayed by that which we can see and ignore that which we cannot see. It's easy to be swayed by that which we can see and to ignore that which we cannot see. I want to remind you of 2 Corinthians 4:18. The Bible says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You know, we can't miss this. God gave everything to all 12 men. God gave everything that they needed to be successful. You see, why did Caleb and Joshua, why were they successful? It's because they did not listen to the majority. They didn't allow themselves to be deceived by the wicked one. And listen, they believed God. What God said, they marked it down. They took it to the bank. What God said, they allowed their life to be governed by it. That is what made the difference. And yet the Bible says they did not believe the promises that God gave them. "I will fight for you. All you need to do is possess it." They were discouraged. They were deceived. They didn't believe God. And as we go through the Bible, it's the commentary of their life. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19, speaking of the children of Israel, the Bible says, "So we see that they could not enter in," that's the promised land, "because of unbelief." It was the commentary of their life. They didn't believe God. God gave his word, and they didn't believe what God had to say. You know, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For we must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, our faith begins in believing that God is. And then our faith continues to believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks him. God is pleased when we exercise our faith. You know, God operates on the faith principle. "Believe in me first, and I will show you." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." "Well, Lord, I don't have a lot of money in my bank account, and if I tithe, I may be sure." God says, "You tithe and I'll bless you." "No, no, Lord, you bless me first." "No, you exercise your faith and I will show myself strong to you." You see, God operates on the faith principle. You take the first step. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. But you need to take that first step in your life. You need to trust God. And many have failed because they didn't believe God. They didn't take God at his word. They had opportunity. They were given everything they needed. But they didn't believe God. Why do good men, good women, why do they fail? Well, first of all, it's simple. Because of discouragement. There's a lot of voices that are in your life. There's a lot of people telling you what to do. There's a lot of people giving you their opinion. Hey, listen, you need to quiet all of those opinions and you need to listen to God. You need to obey him. And then there's the idea of deceit. And how the devil wants to destroy and how the devil wants to deceive us and he wants us to question the word of God. No, listen, friend, we need to obey God. We need to follow God. And we need in our life to trust in him and put our faith in him. We need to believe in the Lord for our life. God help us today. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior here this morning, I don't know your heart, but if you don't know, if you could say, "Pastor Burns, I don't know. If I were to die today, I would go to heaven. Would you talk to me after the service? I'd love to show you from a Bible how you can be saved. If you're a lady, I'll have a lady show you. If you're a gentleman, I'll have a man show you. But listen, we don't want you to leave here today without knowing your sins are washed away
and that you have a home in heaven. God help us today, Christian. God help us to be successful in what God has called us to do. We need to follow these principles. We need to follow the example of these men and don't do what they did, but do the opposite in trusting God and listening to Him as He speaks to us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for all that you've done for us. And Lord, it truly is a blessing to be in your house. And Lord, we thank you for the encouragement that you give to us through your word and through the Spirit's teaching in our life. And Father, I pray if there's someone here that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that you would work in their hearts. And Lord, I pray that they would come today to the knowledge of the truth. And for each Christian here, I pray, Lord, for our spiritual condition. Help us, Lord, I pray, to keep our eyes on you, that we would be successful in what you've called us to do in this life. Again, we're so thankful for your working in our life, and we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our hymn books together, if we could.